Welcome to Federal Insights for March, Managing Threats Through CDM in Government, sponsored by Mobile Iron.
When it comes to continuous diagnostics and mitigation, the Small Business Administration has been one of the most innovative. The agency has been implementing CDM over the past 2 or 3 years, and to get an insight on its approach and how it compares to other agencies across government, Federal News Network's Jason Miller spoke with Guy Cavallo. He's the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the SBA.
First of all, we wholeheartedly agree with the objectives of the CDM program and the need to have that enterprise cross-government view and protection. So as we've been aggressively migrating SBA to the cloud, we quickly observed that the cloud had some pretty impressive cybersecurity capabilities that are difficult to replicate on-premise. So when we initially launched our cloud, we were not aware that that would be where we'd end up with cybersecurity. But once we got our feet wet and saw it was capable, we went all in with it. And there were a number of reasons for that. One is that we saw through an earlier pilot that we did with DHS and OMB on the TIC, which then led us to ask DHS to let us do a CDM pilot, the amount of logging data that we're collecting and the ability of artificial intelligence to then go through those millions of records of logs to find vulnerabilities and attacks. We said, let's see if we can work towards meeting the objectives of the CDM program, but not use the on-premise architecture and products for it. And then everybody assumed that that meant that we would do something different between on-premise and the cloud. But what we did was flip that equation, and we said everything that we have, we're going to send the logs of it to the cloud. So not only from our main cloud, but from all of our clouds, because I don't know of any agency that can just be in one cloud, plus everything on-premise, instead of trying to pull those logs down to on-premise for traditional CDM tools, we send them all to the cloud to have the cloud AI technology look at that. So that's what we did that was innovative. We were very impressed by the level of detail and the amount of alerting that we were getting from having all of that information go to one place. And so we picked up from the TIC pilot and went forward with DHS on this one.
One of the key pieces here is, I think, as Maria wrote, your CIO, and you have said many times, is you made the decision to go to the cloud and you burned the bridges behind you. You didn't say, well, maybe we'll go a little bit. You went all in. And that almost forced you to think of, okay, how can we do this differently? Was that the big forcing function for SBA?
It definitely was a way that allowed us to pay for that, because when Maria and I both joined SBA, we were already starting a new fiscal year and there were $0 in our budget to do anything for the cloud. So the only way we could fund any of the initiatives and the architecture and the pre-work to get ready to go to the cloud was to negotiate with our chief financial officer that if we save contracts from on-premise by turning them off, could we reinvest those funds in paying for the cloud and not have to ask for additional money? And he agreed to that. So it was a combination of Maria's background and my background and working with the cloud from the early days. We knew what the capabilities were and we had the faith in it, but we also had to come up with a way to pay for it without having to wait a whole fiscal year to try to get money. So we did burn the bridges, and that's how we self-funded our initial cloud effort, was by turning things off on-premise, such as hardware maintenance contracts for servers that we were migrating to the cloud, backup software for those servers, different types of monitoring agents that we had. We inherited 38 security tools when we got here, and we never could get a clear answer on why we had 38. Was that too high, too low? And when we investigated them, we saw that a lot of them were very niche tools that only looked at one thing and didn't give us the enterprise views. So we also turned off a bunch of those tools to be able to fund our cloud effort. And then once we were in the cloud, the cybersecurity capabilities just kept taking off. Every week we saw enhancements. And that just reinforced that we were headed down the right path.
And the key here as well for SBA was, once you got it in the cloud and you saw all the tools and all the capabilities, you just had to show to DHS and OMB that you were still getting the same outcome. And I think that's the key driver here is, what are you getting from these tools from being in the cloud versus on-prem? And walk me through that decision or that discussion around outcomes versus tools.
That took a while to negotiate because, again, starting from where the federal government was and DHS needing to step up quickly and trying to get everybody up to a level playing field, the ideal way to do that is to dictate an architecture and a set of tools and say you will use these, or you might have a choice between A, B, and C, but you're not going to be able to use A through Z. And again, just with the capabilities and the way of the cloud, we just saw that we should be able to replicate or even exceed what we could get from the on-premise items. So, definitely we were tied to the objectives all the way from the hardware asset management part of CDM, the configuration management, managing accounts, all four phases. We wanted to make sure that our approach would cover all four of those and not be tied to an on-premise architecture. And one problem with the on-premise architecture is the amount of data that every device generates. We're collecting data from every laptop, every tablet, every server, every virtual machine, every router, every cloud that we're in, and tying those clouds together. It's just a tremendous amount of data that would require expensive hardware on-premise to deal with, and we'd constantly be buying more disk space, where with the cloud we're able to just keep expanding our usage and pay a fraction of the cost of owning the hardware ourselves. So it was a combination of all of that working together that showed us that this definitely was the right way to go, and that we could meet all the objectives and the capabilities, but not use the existing tool set from the earlier CDM architecture.
One of the big complaints that I heard over the years leading up to the change in approach for DHS, probably in 2016 or so, was how rigid it was. You had to buy, as you said, this set of tools. Mm-hmm. Because you guys were moving so much to the cloud, because you were going off-premise, did that conversation with DHS, did you have to prove to them how you would be able to do the same thing, just not necessarily with those same tools? Walk me through some of those discussions that were happening 2 or 3, 4 years ago.
Sure. We had lots of discussions about feeding the federal Archer dashboard, and that's where we kept saying, but that's really not the objective of protecting the federal government, not feeding a consolidated dashboard, but leveraging the data to protect an agency. So we had many, many meetings with, okay, everything that we're doing in the cloud is really cool, but how does DHS leverage that data into the existing rigid architecture? And we ended up proposing three alternatives there that would allow us to do what we're doing and still allow DHS to meet the objectives. One was that we shared with them our cloud dashboard so that as soon as we had data going into our log analytics, they could also see the log analytics and get basically what they were looking for in their Archer dashboard from it. So that was something that we could implement on day one or whenever the decision is made. We also said another alternative was if they wanted to position analysts here in our SOC to be able to be on-prem with us versus having us ship the data down to the DHS data center, that would also be something that they could implement immediately. And then the third option was if they really liked what we're doing and wanted to expand it to other agencies, most of the tools that we're using have the ability to send dual feeds to multiple locations. So we suggested that they could set up their own cloud environment mimicking what we did and take their own feed from us, and then any other agencies that followed our path, they would also be able to consolidate all of those feeds in one place and basically do what they were trying to do with the Archer dashboard by getting all the logs from everybody into one place. So those three options are still on the table, and we're working through that with them. But they, you know, now that they've awarded a new CDM dashboard contract, they've asked us to help advise that vendor and continue to participate with them in that evolution. And so we are, you know, even though our pilot finished in the summer, we are still working with them on what's the path forward to make all this work across government.
Guy Cavallo is Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Small Business Administration, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
Are your agency's mobile endpoints protected against cyber attacks and malicious code? Is your agency prepared to meet the mobility reporting requirements for CDM and FISMA? MobileIron's proven government-grade security platform makes it easy, protecting government data and user privacy, securing the device, and remediating threats on agency phones, tablets, and laptops. MobileIron, securing your agency's work and making FISMA and CDM mobility reporting painless. Learn more by downloading our CDM guide at mobileiron.com/government.
Welcome back to the final segment of our interview with Guy Cavallo, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Small Business Administration, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
Let's talk a little bit about the speed to decision, because I think that's one of the big keys that I hear about CDM. I did a story back in 2017 about the WannaCry virus and how DHS, this was really the first time they were able to use the CDM tools to say how many agencies had Windows 7 machines. And you know, what do we need to do to turn them off or whatever, or patch them? How have you guys used the same thing to make other decisions, whether it's cyber-related or even just mission-related, because now you have the information, as you mentioned, at your fingertips?
Yeah, well, having that accurate inventory, Jason, outside of the cyber rule, one thing is that it's done is it's allowed me to right-size our software. Because now that I have an accurate inventory that's not coming from six different competing inventory tools, but from one that's based on the logs of the machine, I've been able to cut back the number of licenses that we paid for a number of vendors, and in other cases, increase the number of licenses. But overall, to the agency, it's been a reduction in our software spend where people were guessing how many licenses we needed to be in compliance, but now we can actually measure it to the individual. So, like I said, totally outside of cyber, that's been something that's helped us with closing our Megabyte Act of 2016 software audit findings, where that was the whole point of the Megabyte Act, was to make sure that the agency had a handle on its software and wasn't buying it multiple times. We've been able to help the agency and the program offices stop wasting money on buying, not only buying too many licenses, but having us buy three licenses of the same product for the same person because nobody was sure that they were covered and they wanted to make sure that we were licensed properly. So multiple offices bought the same license. So that has been a tremendous impact just on the financial waste, which we want to eliminate, but also making sure that we're not cheating any of our software vendors and that we're paying them for what we're using and not being under a threat of being sued for running illegal software. But like I said, overall, the visibility has really helped us change the way people operate, and it provides all the program offices a better view of why some of the security policies that we have here are in place. Whenever Marie and I take our cyber dashboard to the executives of the agency and give them a quick demo of how many times we're being attacked from all over the world each day, each hour, and how we've been able to protect that, it does help us reinforce the message that cyber should not be thought of as something that's a roadblock to getting your mission done. It's something that we all have to do to protect that important citizen data. And maybe we have to change some of our business practices to align with what the cyber threat is. But it's been, I said, it's been interesting to see the impact on the culture of the SBA program offices and the employees as we've highlighted to them just how serious a threat this is. They all knew that, you know, they read about the hacks of, you know, as we've all read in the private sector, the multimillion records that are stolen here and there, but being able to show them that, hey, this is where SBA is also being attacked constantly, and you have to be on guard that this is a threat because they want to get access to that multi-billion-dollar loan portfolio. It's been really, I think, eye-opening to the entire agency.
You've been listening to an interview with Guy Cavallo, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Small Business Administration, discussing continuous diagnostics and mitigation. If you missed any part of this episode, find it at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Federal Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Are your agency's mobile endpoints protected against cyber attacks and malicious code? Is your agency prepared to meet the mobility reporting requirements for CDM and FISMA? MobileIron's proven government-grade security platform makes it easy, protecting government data and user privacy, securing the device, and remediating threats on agency phones, tablets, and laptops. MobileIron, securing your agency's work and making FISMA and CDM mobility reporting painless. Learn more by downloading our CDM guide at mobileiron.com/government.
Welcome back to our interview with Guy Cavallo, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Small Business Administration, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
Let's talk benefits. We realize that it's easier, it's less on-prem. There are things about the data that's making it helpful for SBA to understand threats and vulnerabilities. But when you look back or when you look forward, what are some of those major benefits to having CDM in the cloud versus on-premise? Is it cost or what?
Cost is one factor, but I think the amount of cyber protections that we're getting is really the key. You know, as being the SBA, we have a lot of PII data over, you know, thousands and thousands of small businesses in the country, and millions really. And protecting those that data, the visibility of what we have and what we're being attacked on. And how we're stopping attacks and how the AI is alerting us to something happening that a human analyst wouldn't see. That's really been the big benefit to us, because that's really our goal. Is we're not doing this because it's cool, or even if it's cheaper or more expensive, the real driver for us is this the best way for us to protect all of those millions of small businesses and their sensitive data, and our billions of small business loan portfolios that would be a very big target for somebody to try to hack overseas and drain from that. So that's really what's driven us to do this, and the evolution of the cloud technologies just keeps enhancing it every day. So like as I mentioned earlier, our analysts are using what we built with the cloud monitoring versus the traditional CDM dashboard to protect things that the CDM program doesn't show. One big culture change for SBA is why we've had the directive from DHS for people not to take their government-furnished laptops or cell phones overseas unless they are cleared through the physical security office. People were doing it, you know, just because they're dedicated workers. They would take it with them on vacation and go over to Europe or Australia or someplace. And we really didn't know that they did that and that we were exposed to foreign telecom connections, possibly planting malware or listening software on a device. Now, since we see that and we're alerted if any of our devices show up overseas that weren't properly cleared, we quickly shut down the device, inform the manager that your employee has gone overseas with government-furnished equipment that was not cleared to go overseas. So when they come back, we're going to have to do a full security scan and possibly wipe of the machine. It's really changed our culture here at SBA, where our physical security office is getting a lot more requests for taking equipment overseas ahead of people taking it, where before, like I said, we just didn't even know it was happening.
And I know talking to you and some of your colleagues over the last year or two, you also know when, for instance, the NCAA basketball tournament that's coming up in March, that there's a spike in people watching on their computers, or you know when there's a spike of other kind of interesting, like if the president talks or if there's something happening in Congress, you see those spikes too, and you can adjust as needed, whether it's shutting down potentially, you know, somebody watching the game while at their office, or turning it up if you need more compute because of an emergency. So that also is giving you more information to make better decisions.
Oh, absolutely. We've been able to turn off things and get bandwidth back because, you know, being the SBA, we also provide external public internet access at many of our facilities that also, you know, drains our connections. So we don't need to be paying for somebody sitting at a coffee shop next to the SBA office watching Netflix off of our public Wi-Fi you know, to impact the connectivity to that office. So, yeah, it definitely has made a change, and now we have that visibility. One of the biggest impacts I've seen on our team is that when we get a request from DHS that there's some, let's say, product X that is now a threat to the agency, and they want all the agencies to look for it through your inventory and report back what you find. Before we turned on the cloud tools, that would be a multi-week expedition, and whatever results we had, we would have a 50-50 chance that they were even accurate. Now, because we have logs of everything and we see everything, we're able to generate that report in a matter of minutes and get back to DHS within an hour of, yes, we found it here at SBA, and we had already patched it or whatever the security cause was that they wanted us to look at. Even for virtual machines that were turned off that had that software sitting on it, we've been able to very quickly, in a matter of minutes, find everything. So that by itself, compared to, you know, the way it used to be, where it was our best guess and we really couldn't track the number, to now it's a matter of minutes and just a few clicks that you don't have to be a high-level analyst to do. I mean, I've been able to do those searches myself as a deputy CIO. That really starts to show the impact of the protection and the speed of access to data to be able to make informed decisions.
You're listening to Guy Cavallo, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Small Business Administration, interviewed by Federal News Network's Jason Miller. Time for one more quick break, and we'll have part three of the interview when we return. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for March, Managing Threats Through CDM in Government, sponsored by Mobile Iron on Federal News Network.
The Humane Rescue Alliance is cracking down on animal fighting, but they need your help. If you witness any of the following signs of dog fighting, call 202-723-5730, option 3. Dogs with scars on their face, front or back legs, and chest. Frequent movement of dogs, the same dog returning with injuries. Dogs on heavy chains, several dogs chained in close proximity, and homemade electric treadmills. If you suspect dog fighting is taking place in D.C., call 202-723-5730, option 3.
Do you know a federal employee facing a tragedy like their own or a family member's serious illness or a death in the family? Is the tragedy also causing financial struggles? Feds Helping Feds charity FIA may be able to help. FIA offers no fee, no interest loans to feds experiencing a variety of hardships. Special thanks to Blue Cross Blue Shield and Care First Blue Cross Blue Shield for supporting FIA in expanding this program. Find eligibility requirements and other program details at feea.org/emergency.
Celebrate the extraordinary achievements in blood cancer research at the 33rd Annual Leukemia Ball, Saturday, March 21st. The evening will feature a fabulous silent auction, a comedic performance by Seth Meyers, and music by the Leg Warmers and Damian Escobar. Over the last 32 years, the Leukemia Ball has raised more than $65 million for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's National Capital Area Chapter. More information at leukemiaball.org.